Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo.
Hey, friends. Today on the podcast, we are talking about ambiguous grief and lament. Unfortunately, you'll hear in my voice, I'm recovering from a cold. Now, before we dive into the episode, I wanted to say thank you for all the positive feedback you've been sending me about Midlife Crescendo and for all the reviews. Thank you so much. Also, happy Valentine's Week. Since Valentine's Day is coming up this Wednesday, if you need a little romantic jazz music, might I suggest My Funny Valentine by yours truly? You can find it on my first CD called The Rest of Your Life. You can stream that song or the full album on Spotify or wherever you listen to music online. It's also available to purchase on iTunes or my website at debbiecunningham.net. I'll link that in the show notes. If you have a minute, I'd love for you to take a listen and tell me what you think. It's a little different from the standard version. Okay, now on with the show. Okay, midlifers, we have on the podcast Christian women's therapist, Melody Eddy. She's coming back. She's been on before. And so welcome back, Melody.
Well, hi, Debbie. Thank you for having me. It's so exciting to be back again.
I'm so glad. And hey, so, you know, I always ask, the very first question is always tell us something about yourself, which you did last time. You told us you were a pickleball enthusiast mm-hmm. and player. But is there anything else you want to tell us today?
Oh, gosh. Well, what would you like to know?
Well, you're having surgery coming up. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, talk about ambiguous grief and lament. Yes, I am I'm entering into a season where I will be required to rest and to slow down and to take some time off from work. So yes, I am having rotator cuff surgery on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to me. Right. And so, yeah, this is, it's been a hard season. Yeah. You know, it definitely has. And it certainly goes along with what we're talking about because, you know, I'm going from being very active to coming to a full stop.
Yeah.
And that comes with its own anxieties and emotions. So
absolutely. So we are talking about ambiguous grief today. And I would love for you to give, from the clinical side, a definition of ambiguous grief to our audience, because then I'm going to talk a little bit about biblically where that lies. So would you talk about that?
Yeah. So let me give you like a little basic definition of ambiguous grief. And this isn't the exact definition because there's other types. So ambiguous grief is described as experiencing the loss of someone, but they are actually physically still present. So that's like the original definition of it. An example would be a parent who is suffering from dementia or an estrangement from a family member where you are no longer talking to one another, right? So the person is physically there, but you know they've lost some abilities. However, you know, there are several types of ambiguous grief. And as a therapist, working with women over the years and in my own experience, I would sit and say, gosh, you know what? That's a grief, or this is a grief. Things that maybe we wouldn't identify as a grief because honestly, it doesn't end with a physical funeral. It doesn't end with an actual death or an acknowledgement. And So a few examples would be divorce. Divorce is a grief. It is a huge grief, whether you've agreed upon it or not. It is the loss of so much. And gosh, for the sake of time, I won't go into how it is, but that's an example. Parents who, you know, they have a child who they never expected it to be born with special needs. And, you know, the challenges that come with that as a parent, the loss of what they thought that might look like. The loss of a dream. The loss of a dream, you know, whether it's professionally or personally. Pet loss is an ambiguous grief. I don't think it's given enough attention. I think it gets brushed aside. I lost my precious Rocket this year. He was only 5 years old and he was my best companion. And it's been incredibly hard that I've lost him.
Yeah.
The insurmountable loss that we have all experienced from the COVID pandemic.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness, we could just have a whole podcast just about that subject. And then how about like women or men? They're living with singleness, right? They hope to experience the love of a husband and family, and maybe they're still waiting or that hasn't happened for them.
Right.
I think ambiguous grief is incredibly difficult because it's not necessarily recognized or viewed as a significant loss. For me personally, I did experience ambiguous grief through the estrangement from my mother and father. Gosh, it went on for 25 years. It was the hardest thing I ever went through. And it was like they died without there being a funeral or a place for me to even express my grief. So ambiguous grief is particularly isolating and lonely. So I'm very glad that we're talking about this as a topic.
Well, I think too that it is very important because I think the difference, although grief can go on when someone dies and you process grief sometimes for months or years, it has a final end to it. And an ambiguous grief, like when you are estranged from someone, it like goes on and on and on. And there's never this closure, it seems,
yeah.
Right? And for hopes and dreams, women who've wanted to be married who are not, women who've wanted to, you know, have children who have not been
yeah.
able to, and they're still holding on to that hope. There's a long process to this holding lament, which is the biblical part of grief that I wanted to talk
yeah.
about today, because I think it's really, really important that we look at that. I'm going to shift for a second before I talk about lament and add to the COVID thing. I think that there's so much ambiguous grief since COVID over the loss of good things,
yeah.
the loss of celebrations. Like we couldn't come celebrate your
yeah.
son's wedding. He had to scale it down. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. And I have so many friends who didn't even get to go to their kids' weddings. They just got married by a justice of the
yeah.
peace. One of my friends, her son was in the military and she watched her son get married from miles and miles away because he was gonna be restationed.
Mm-hmm.
So his fiance, they wanted to get married. So they basically streamed it to their
Aww.
Parents and they didn't even get to participate in that. But also the loss of connection, the loss of celebration, the loss of like graduations, weddings, all of those
yeah.
things, big events in your family's life, you couldn't be there. And even loss of being there in hard things, just to have that connection. Like my grandmother died during COVID. And so we did have a very small funeral, but I couldn't be there when she was in the hospital. They wouldn't even let me go.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't have been able to. So
right.
There's a loss of even being able to express that connection, different things like that. And I think that there are a lot of people who are living in lament but don't realize it because they haven't really unloaded that ambiguous grief.
Yeah, it's really true. You know, as you were talking, you know, I think about like my sister-in-law. She's retired now, but she was an ICU nurse during that time. And gosh, just the grief and trauma of, you know, loved ones saying goodbye to their loved ones over FaceTime and iPads and not being able to be there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, biblically, lament is also not
no.
talked about enough, I think, because I think we need to normalize
yes.
lament. The Psalms are filled with prayers of lament. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. A lament is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion. And it is the chief way that Christians process grief in God's presence. But because many Christians have grown up in churches that maybe always looked on the bright side, or, you know, you're not supposed to complain. And the scripture says we're to do things without grumbling and complaining. But this is different because this is taking your sorrow to God and turning to him with it and laying it at his feet, pouring it out at his feet, and then reminding yourself of his goodness. So it actually ends, if you look at the Psalms, that when David would cry out about how long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, by the end of the psalm, it seems like he's a crazy person, you know, that he's just done an about face. He goes, but Lord, I'll praise you. But what he's done is he has processed his lament and his grief over a situation that God, he doesn't feel like God is working fast enough in, which is most of us feel the same way. And then saying, but I will still praise the Lord. I know you're good. I will praise you and turn to you and be reminded that as I look back on my life, I will praise you in all that you've done. So I think it's good for us to consider that when we have these ambiguous griefs, that we don't have to stuff it down inside, but that we can go to God in prayer and process it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just this morning, I was in the 23rd Psalm and I was in Psalm 42. And those are both Psalms that David is sharing his feelings. Psalm 42 is more of a lament. If I may, there is a version of the Bible out now that is the Passion Translation, and it's done in the original Aramaic. And my goodness, if you can, you know, it really is wonderful to read the Psalms in that translation. Yeah, I mean, you just listen to David and he's just, you can just see his relationship with the Father. It's so intimate. I mean, Psalm 42, my tears are my food day and night. I mean, he is just gut-wrenchingly sharing his heart, which gave me permission this morning to lament and to cry and to share my heart, because I'm about to enter into something that feels very unknown.
Right. And in Psalm 13, David says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" And then he says at the bottom in verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." So I think if we read the Psalms, it's wonderful because it does give us permission to bring our sorrow. It's not complaining when you're bringing your hurts and sorrows and wounds to the Lord. Grumbling and complaining looks completely different. But tell me what you, because you are a counselor, what does it look like? How does grief show up in our lives? And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the steps to grieve some of these losses and disappointments while holding space for moving forward in hope. Because I think it's a hard thing to balance.
So your first question was, how does grief show up? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, grief first will show up actually in our bodies. So grief is so heavy that we typically will experience it first physically in our bodies. We will experience it in, gosh, you hear broken heart syndrome, right? That's actually a scientific diagnosis. I don't know what the diagnosis is, but that's actually a thing, that grief can be so and is so overwhelming that some people actually have an actual heart condition because of it. So how it shows up is really pain in the body, a deep, and those of you who are listening, you've experienced this, a heaviness in the chest, an actual sickness maybe in your gut or your stomach, or you might experience like a headache or pain in your neck, but that's how it first will show up for us, which is why it's so important for us to not ignore it, because it has a physical reaction in our body. And then following that is a myriad of emotions. And there is the Kubler-Ross, the five, stages of grief. And yes, that's true. But what we're finding out is that it's not this linear track, right? We don't go from, I'm going to get them backwards, but denial to anger to bargaining, like all the different ones. We experience it like a ball of yarn. It's like a tangled up ball of yarn. Like if you can see a ball of yarn that's of all different colors, that's how it will show up for us and our emotions. Super overwhelming. I don't know if that's what you were asking, but how it shows up for us.
Yeah, and I think, it does show up in our body because and stress shows up in our body, and ambiguous grief
Oh.
is a kind of stress. And the thing is about stress is it breaks down our immunity. It's so I'm sunny today, I have a cold, and so I sound wonderful. But I mean this, but if we don't get a handle on our stress, it breaks down our immunity. And if we tie this back into midlife, our bodies are going through so much
Yeah.
change midlife that when we hang on to stress and we're not handling our stress well and managing it, it can really mess with our immunity and other things that are going on in our body. And then as those things break down in our body, then we can get sicker and sicker or have more disease, postmenopause disease. So I think that it's really, really important for us as women. We already have a lot of stressors. But if we're carrying some of these griefs, that we really need to bring them to God and process them. Now, what are some of the ways that we can process grief? Because that's what I wanted to talk to you about too, is that actually giving some steps that are really good for clinically for people to process their
Well,
grief.
I think especially with an ambiguous grief that you're going through, I think it's important to say that yes, this is a grief. Yes, this is heavy. And giving yourself permission to say, I'm suffering. This is really hard. Right. Like it starts with recognizing that, you know what you're feeling, you know how you're experiencing this, and giving yourself permission to say, yeah, this is hard. This year losing Rocket, I found myself trying to like suck it up after like a month because some people, you hear the phrase, well, a dog's just a dog. It's just a pet. Right. And, I was like, gosh, he was a companion to me. As a matter of fact, I got him right before COVID. And so there was a lot of connection there. He was my pet, my dog. He was my companion. He sat under me in a dog bed while I counseled my clients. My clients knew him. They loved him. So that was a big and still is a big grief for me that I keep saying, Mel, give yourself permission to feel and to cry. But we tend to want to, like for ambiguous griefs, we tend to want to like keep it to ourselves because we really, what's
And
that?
minimize
Right.
it. We
Right. We minimize it
minimize
because we worry
ambiguous
about
grief.
how other people will perceive it, or they might be like, that's silly, or oh, come on, it's not that bad. Or like with divorce, some people were like, well, isn't this what you wanted? And it's such a loss. Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned about the
Yeah.
dog, the pet loss. And I think I just had a conversation with Dr. Anna Kabeka. She's an OBGYN. And she talked about the hormone oxytocin. And she said oxytocin is our connecting hormone. And it happens in our body when we are doing something we enjoy. And she said, you could, and it really helps with menopause. And so you'll have to listen to that episode, ladies, because it does. When you increase oxytocin, it actually helps us in menopause and it brings down cortisol. But petting a pet, she said, petting an animal increases oxytocin. So does hugging. So does doing something you enjoy. And so when you take that animal away, or you take something you enjoy out of your life, then that oxytocin comes down. So there's a source of oxytocin that's removed from your life. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And it goes back to, right, the connection with the body and how it affects the body. Like, it's so important to have that connection, to realize it's just not difficult feelings that we feel. It affects our whole being.
So acknowledging it and giving ourselves permission to acknowledge it, maybe journaling out the fact that you have this lament, this sorrow, besides praying to God, I think we can help ourselves by taking a step to write those things down for ourselves. Write down our lament and our sorrow over that
issue.
So
what I would say is that, and this seems so simplistic, but one of the things I will run in to with women, and I've done it myself, the emotion will come up and I'll watch my clients try to pull it together. You could just see they're swallowing these gigantic lumps and they're trying to hold back. Honestly, first and foremost, the most important thing we can do is to let ourselves cry. God gave us tears. That is cleansing. Crying is so important. I know we don't feel like it and we don't want to, and it feels really hard, but the act of crying is super cleansing. And so I would say that if you're holding all of this emotion, you have to give yourself permission to cry. And then, you know, if you're having a hard time, like I'll work with women who are, they're sucking it back and they're holding it back. And I'll be like, hey, let's be curious about what that might be about. And sometimes we find out in childhood, it wasn't okay to cry, to weep, to wail. We can't hold that in. We need to physically cry and to let that out.
What are the steps you recommend then if you were counseling a woman who, what she's given herself permission to cry and grieve whatever the loss is, or the loss of dreams or hopes or whatever, then what would you encourage her to do then moving forward?
I think the number one thing, and this is for all grief, we need to stop putting a timeline on it. We need to stop saying, well, you should be over this by now, or, you know, in 6 months, that's when I need to be better. It needs to be done, right? There is no timeline for grieving. Like, you could be walking along and a year later, 10 years later, something can remind you. And that's okay, right? We grieve deeply because we have loved deeply. It's the way of the kingdom of heaven, right? Death is not part of the equation. We're to go on forever. And so when that happens, whether it's a physical death or the death of, you know, some other kind of loss or dream, right? It's going to hurt really badly. So give yourself all the time that you possibly need. And another thing that I would tell women, and trust me, I have to work on it too. When somebody says, hey, how are you? Or how are you feeling? Right? We tend to be like, I'm fine. I'm good. Learn how to say, you know what? Actually, I'm grieving. I have learned, and it's not easy because it's super vulnerable, right? But if somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, you know, you look down or you look sad, I've learned to say, you know what? Actually, I'm grieving. I'm grieving.
That's great. That's an easy way to say it. You don't have to elaborate. You don't have to give details, but you could just honestly say, instead of stuffing it down,
yeah,
I'm actually grieving.
I'm grieving.
Right now.
You know, it gives people permission, because honestly, I think if we're all honest, a lot of us grieve alone. And that would be the next thing that I would say.
Thank you.
I think there are wonderful resources out there. Grief Share is a wonderful resource for, I send my clients to Grief Share. It's very hard to grieve in a vacuum and in isolation. And some people really benefit from that. But really, it's not isolating. And, you know, it's really giving yourself that permission and not stuffing it down.
Right.
Grief is hard work. Grief is incredibly hard work.
Well, as we wrap up today, I want to give you four elements that we could do as we take our ambiguous grief to God. First of all, it's biblical, turning to God in prayer, number one. Two, bringing our sorrows to him. And then three, asking boldly for his leading, guiding, even for what he wants to happen. Even Jesus in the garden was like, if this cup could pass for me, I would really like it to be something else. He sweat drops of blood. This is important that we remind ourselves that he was so under the stress of grief of what was about to take place, that he sweat drops of blood through his capillaries, and that there are things in our lives that we do deal with that are like that are sorrows and they hurt. And so even asking God boldly for what you want, because the scripture is very clear that we can come into his presence and ask boldly, and then choosing to trust him and praise him. It may not work out the way you want it to. You might not get married. You might not have the child. You might not get that job. But you can ask God for it and then trust him, not my will, but thine. I know you know best for me, but lead and guide me in the days ahead. And so I think it's really important, just as we wrap it up, that we give those steps out for people so that they have a process to even lament.
And I just want to end with this. The Father, he already knows us intimately, but he wants to be in a relationship with us intimately. And he loves us so much. Right. There's a scripture that I always hold on to. I give it to my clients. And it says, he holds every tear that I've cried in his vial. It is such a beautiful scripture. Like, imagine a vial that God is, every tear that we cry, he's catching them. That's just how much he loves us and how much he wants to intimately be acquainted with us. And I remember that when I find myself going, oh, Lord, I've cried to you about this sadness already 5,000 times. And he's like, come 5,000 more.
I think that's a perfect way to end today, Mel. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate you share this conversation with me about ambiguous grief. And I look forward to the next conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Melanie Eddy today about ambiguous grief and learning to lament. The verse that Melanie mentioned at the end about God holding our tears is Psalm 56:8. Ambiguous grief can be grief from all sorts of disappointments in life. Whether you experience sadness over loss of a job, personal accomplishments and dreams, or loss of connection to loved ones through moving or disease, I hope you will remember this one thing. God cares for you and longs for you to talk with him, even if it's pouring out your sorrows and laments to him in prayer. He is the only one who can bring peace in these situations, and scripture is clear that he longs to do that for you. If you have comments or questions about lament, please send me an email at info@debbiecunningham.net. Lastly, today's episode was not about traditional grief, but if you are struggling with the loss of a loved one and need help, please contact griefshare.org. They're a great organization and they can help you as you process the grief that you're experiencing. I'll put that link in the show notes. Next week on Midlife Crescendo, we are talking with Dr. Anna Kabeca about hormones, pre and post menopause. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Trust me, you do not want to miss this episode. She shares practical and natural things we can do to balance our hormones and give us a better quality of living, no matter which part of midlife we are in. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.